But I was thinking, I heard a story told of a man that went to the mission field. And when they met him at the boat, they were surprised to find that he only had one leg. And they asked him what he came over there for. He said, well, because nobody else would come or go. So I didn't seem to be anybody wanting to get up here tonight. Here I am. Now I want to look at Romans with you. Chapter 14. And I'll tell you what I hope to talk about unless I don't talk about it later on. What's that? Reception. I want to speak about reception. And I might say to Mr. Paisley that I haven't any notes now. This is, and I'm preaching from a new Bible. To me, it's new. So, with all the mistakes I make, you'll have to forgive me then. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, or not about doubt or doubting things, and so on. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, without reading a whole lot more in the same, and it's all in the same connection, look at chapter 15, and we'll read one verse here. Verse 7. Well, we'll read verse 1 to get the connection. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Verse 7 now. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And then we may get to the next chapter, chapter 16, a little later. Now these two portions, chapter 14 and 15, it's receiving people who are already in the assembly, or assemblies at Rome. There would be more than one assembly there at this time when this was written. And it's not receiving from the outside, while the 16th chapter is someone coming there to be received. But this reception is inside of the assembly. They're already in there. Now receive them. Well, You'll say, that hardly seems to make sense. Why is that? Because they were setting at naught one another. And I read those verses so that we would get the connection. Now, some were Jews and some were Gentiles. Some were able to have a conscience about certain things and even days and so on, and they were setting at naught their brother. And this is the first time that the word judgment seat of Christ is mentioned. And it's brought in here in connection with their attitude and our attitude towards one another. Now, I know that it's once more mentioned in 2 Corinthians, but it's many times referred to, even in the last book of the Bible. That is this judgment seat. You agree with that? I shouldn't be talking to my brethren, because once in a while I find out they don't agree with me, and that's enough to throw you off. Because I expect everybody would agree with me. And you know why? Well, I expect I'm right, and of course they expect they are too. However, here they were at this time, and now they were setting at naught one another. The Gentile believer, he'd have no scruples about eating pork at this time, but the Jewish believer would. And that applied to many other things. And so we find in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And so, instead of setting them at naught, take him by the hand, one rendering is, take him by the hand and have fellowship with him. Not just a cup of tea, because I don't suppose they drank tea at this time, but have fellowship with him. He's in the same assembly with you. And while you don't see eye to eye with him over every little thing, he's in that assembly with you, and receive him. Now the seed was being sown already in Rome of what we find all around, and that could go on. And that seed was setting them aside and not receiving them. One, now that's not receiving into the assembly. They're already in the assembly. But it's folks that are in there. The Corinthian Christians had this difficulty too. And the seed was being sown, and it could get in among us too if we're not careful in the assembly fellowship. Now, I don't agree, I've said this so many times that I think most all of you have heard me, that I don't agree with a lot of my brethren over many things. And they know that too, because I don't agree with them. Why, I think I'm right and they think they're right. But I can shake their hand, and I have all the fellowship with them that I can. I don't know of anybody, preacher or the rest of you, but what I can say hello to and sit down and enjoy your fellowship and so on. But we don't always agree about certain things. In fact, I've got a little lineup on rings even. I saw some man just prick up his ears at that one. I haven't preached it yet, but I've taken time to look that up in the Bible. All about rings. My, there'll be a ring around me when I preach that one. However, it's coming sometime when the Lord leads me on that, because I don't have any on my fingers, and I wouldn't, especially after reading what I have in the Bible about it. Well, let a man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I'm persuaded in my own mind. Now, I might mention what our brother, the Landry, said this afternoon. Was it this afternoon or this morning? Yeah, that's right. Well, he mentioned the magazine. Now, we're not going to run those down 100%, but to clarify what he meant, I think I understood. In fact, I helped to support some of them at times, as far as that's concerned, and I received them. Two or three. All the while. But it's a different matter when they're being used for advertisement for the preacher. I hope we all get that. I was sent some fellowship from one of these. Not the Truth and Tidings or Words in Season, but another one. In it, they said, They wanted to know what I was doing, what I intended to do, and so on. But I sent it back and I told them I had a conviction. And that was because the Lord Jesus made himself of no reputation, therefore I couldn't receive that from them. Now they didn't like that very well, but I was fully persuaded in my own mind. Let us be persuaded in our own mind, brethren and sisters, when we're gathered together in assembly capacity. Let us be fully persuaded in our own mind about these things. And what will persuade us? This holy book that I have before me will persuade us as we read it. I was interested to hear my different brethren today and tell how they were gathered out. I'm a complete outsider myself. And I can look back to those many days, like many of you, thank God for them. I didn't know anything existed on earth known as an assembly of God at that time, nor did I know that a person could be saved and go to heaven. I'll tell you why. Where I went to a Sunday school, they taught me that Jesus was such a good boy that God adopted him and took him to heaven. And my teacher said, now, if you'd be a good boy, maybe he'll adopt you and take you to heaven. Well, I tried. My, what a hard job that was. I tried to be good, and then I couldn't, and then I'd try it again, because I always had that in my mind. But, thank God, when the gospel came to me, it came to me through my own brother in the flesh. He was my father in the faith, and I got Brother Paisley to be with me when we buried him. And I thought this afternoon when he was saying that he prays that he might continue on with God's people, my brother had his request too, that he would die among God's people. And he did. Well, let us be fully persuaded in our own minds, brother. Not somebody else's mind, but our mind. Why? Because the Holy Scriptures will persuade us. Now receive ye. And though I don't agree and can't see what some others do, I don't set them aside and think, well, I wouldn't have anything to do with them, and when they go down that side of the hall, I'll go down on the other side. No. Receive ye to the glory of God. You can receive them. They're all in the same assembly with you, and that's what makes an assembly function. And that's what helps it go on for the glory of God, too. It would be wonderful if we could all agree, but we won't until we get to heaven. There'll always be some little things that we can't just see eye to eye with. And remember this, there's always those coming in and getting saved, never heard any of these things before. Why? That's why in Bible readings I like to hear the brethren tell them, the folk, when they quote a scripture, read it please, so that they will know. Because I went to Bible readings when I was first saved, and some of these brethren, they could quote scripture, but I didn't know what they were talking about. I'd never read the Old Testament. I remember a man preaching one time, and he said, he waved it horizontally. He waved it horizontally. He was going like this. Well, I thought, what was he doing that for? I didn't know. I'd never read in the Old Testament. I didn't know the old from the new. Well, if you don't, what are you going to do with scripture? Such kind of people as that. Receive them. Receive them. They're in there. And have patience with them. And mind you, if you knew the patience the brethren have had with me, it would help you maybe. And I want to say this for the sake of younger brethren. If you wait until you're able to quote scripture like somebody else, you'll wait a long time. Make a start. Well, I took that in too when I was first saved, so I made a start, and it was at the breaking of bread. The first time I ever took any part, I gave out a hymn in between the breaking of bread and the passing of the cup. Now, what would you do with a man like that? Would you receive him and say, that was good, brother, we are glad that you took some part. Well, they didn't put me out of fellowship. And I saw a man making for me. He was the oldest of the elders right afterwards. Put his hand out. Now, I knew he wasn't just going to shake my hand and say, that was good that you made a start. He had something else in his mind, and I said, don't say a word, mister. I'll never take any part again. This is my last time. Oh, well, he said, no, that wasn't quite so bad. After all, he said, but next time maybe you would look at the table, he said. Well, I said, don't worry, there won't be any next time. Well, that deflated him, but I was deflated to begin with. Receive ye. And we got along nice. Oh, I could go on and on about mistakes. We're forever making mistakes. And if you find the perfect man, you'll have to wait till you get to heaven. And that man is the man Christ Jesus. Thank God that we're saved. We can praise God for that this evening. And I've been gathered out. I know some of you want to know how long. Well, 1930, in January, I was gathered out from the systems of men. I was brought up as a Methodist. My great uncle was a minister and all the rest of it. And all that had to go down the drain. And I had to learn from God's word that the Lord Jesus was outside of it all. And I was gathered out from all the systems of men to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and from that time until now, I've never been anywhere else, and I have no desire to be. Why? I'm gathered to Him. Well, receive ye. Now, these folks weren't receiving one another. They weren't getting along that good. That was why. And so that's why the exhortation, receive ye. Now, I hope that you can all shake hands one with another. Oh, well, if you knew so-and-so, you couldn't shake hands with him. You knew what kind of a person he was. Well, is he in the assembly? Did they receive him in that assembly? Well, if he's in fellowship, no, he's just in the meeting, they say. He's not in fellowship. Well, we all ought to be in fellowship. We're in a meeting tonight. We hope to be in a meeting tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, and tomorrow night as well. That's meetings that the assembly has. But the fellowship is receiving the one that's already in there that I'm talking about now. Somewhere along the line, we were received into that fellowship. We should be able to pray for the assembly we're in every day we live. I hope you all do that. No matter where I am, I pray for the little assembly I'm from. I pray for the brethren there. Name them too. I receive them and they receive me. Receive ye. Well, not just for the sake of argument. Really, that's what it means here. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now this doesn't mean weak physically. Weak in the faith. Now I know that my brethren that read their Bibles know this, but really, you wouldn't think there'd be any need for me to talk about this. Well, I'll tell you why there is. I read an article just about 3 days ago, and while I could agree 90% with it, the other 10 I couldn't. Why? Because it wasn't all clear. And it would help to confuse the minds of the reader. Some of the time he would seem to be talking about those coming in. Other times he's talking about those already in until you hardly knew which was which. Leading me to think the author didn't know himself. Wasn't clear. Now I hope that we can be clear on this. They were already in the assembly, but they weren't all together in fellowship one with another. And it was because of eating habits that caused them to have this difficulty one with the other. And so, that's why the apostle brings in the 14th verse. Notice what he says for us. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now they thought that some of these things were unclean. Some of these animals would be unclean. The Jewish folk, they would be going by the Old Testament. They didn't have the New at that time. And so, the Gentile, he wouldn't have any scruples about that. The Apostle Paul knew that it was all right. But I am to respect the other man's conviction. Well, it wasn't really a conviction. It's our attitude towards the brother or sister that's really in view here in verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is one thing to be judged. Now, in connection with the judgment seat of Christ, if there's going to be a judgment seat, and there will be, it'll be set up here in Huntsville. I remember attending one here years ago. Something has to be judged. Well, at the judgment seat, there'll be various things brought up. This will be one thing that'll be in view. How did I treat my brother? My attitude towards my brethren. I won't go into all the other various types because there's many of them in the New Testament. But here's one. How are we getting on one with another? Receive ye one the other. Now, with all these various days, well, I have a lot of different days that I have a conscience about. And you notice these days here. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Some men don't have any conviction about days. We're living in a commercial world now when they've invented all kinds of days. Father's days and baby's days and mother's days and so on. And all mother's days and so on. And all kinds of days. Well, I have a conviction about these days. But I don't fall out of fellowship with you. In fact, they learned how old I was in one place in the U.S. and invited me there, and I didn't know what was going on at all. And mind you, I went out on the porch because it was warm like it is now, and I didn't know. They invited a lot of other folks in too. And then they asked me, would I come in and give thanks for the food? I said, well, yes, I'm always thankful for food. And I walked in, and just as I did, they began singing Happy Birthday. Well, I have a conviction about all these days, as far as I'm concerned, but what did you do about it, you say? Why, I ate the good food and received the present, too. I didn't fall out of fellowship with them over that. Not at all. I have convictions about Xmas Day, too, as far as I'm concerned, but I don't fall out of fellowship with my brethren over that. When my boys got old enough to earn money, for they never had a Xmas tree or any of those things in the home, they said, we're going to use our, can we use our own money now? And I said, yes, it's yours. You've worked for it. Well, they said, we're going to buy some Xmas presents. And we're going to buy you one, too. Well, I said, you better buy a good one if you do. And what do you suppose they did? They bought me one. Well, what did you do with it? Throw it in the fire, you say? Oh, no, I accepted it. Well, how could you do that? Well, they weren't even saved at the time. Conviction. We should be persuaded in our own minds and have convictions, but don't fall out of fellowship one with another over that conviction that you have. That's what we're trying to get at, and I'm sure that's what the Holy Spirit is put down in the scriptures here about. I could go on and on about the many other things that we could fall out of fellowship with, and too many are falling out too over these things. And some claim to be having more convictions than others, and I don't think they're any more spiritual than some of the others. Mind you, I know a lot of spiritual brethren and sisters that don't have the truth that God has revealed to me. And I can enjoy their fellowship and do. Go to their homes and enjoy all I can, but try to help them if they want to be helped. But if they don't want to be helped, what can you do? Nothing. You can't force a man against his will. He'll be of the same opinion still if you try to do that. So you just wait. Receive ye. Now, what do we get then in the next chapter, 15? Now, my brethren that read their Bibles, they know that this seventh verse, there's been lots written about this. But it's wrong. They're still in the assembly. Some have taken this to think, well, they're in the body of Christ, therefore you should receive them. There's nothing about that here at all. This simply means the same as we were reading in chapter 14. They're in the assemblies at Rome. Therefore receive them. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I couldn't tell you how many articles have been written about this very verse. And it has tangled the feet of the Lord's people. It has upset them in many places and cases where they've thought, well, because of this, we should receive them into the assembly. It's not so, brethren. That isn't the teaching that we have before us at all. They were already in the assembly. And it's a continuation of chapter 13. Wherefore, receive ye one another. They're weak. Now we have to say that they're weak, brethren. Fisher Hunter, that some of you knew, I don't know how many of you did, but I know Brother Piercy did, some of you. Well, I was sitting at a table like we're having here at our meals, and this brother brought up something, or Brother Fisher Hunter looked over to him and he said, "You're a weak brother." Well, I don't know whether he realized what he meant or not. But the thing was, he just couldn't seem to take in the truth. And so he classed him as a weak brother. Wasn't weak physically, but he's weak in the faith. I've had some shocks of lately, and not shock treatments either. As far as I know, my head is all right. I've had trouble with my scalp. What was that? Somebody wanted to insure the gospel hall.
You think that's wrong?
Well, what faith is that? Well, I'm looking at some of you and you, I don't know whether maybe you believe that. Well, I don't believe it for a moment. If we've got any faith at all, God can take care of that just the same as any other building. Why, this brother wanted to know it wouldn't be all right to insure their hall against fire and theft and so on. Where's our faith, brethren? We profess to have faith enough to save our souls from a burning hell, and yet we haven't faith enough to trust our God for anything. And I lived in the Depression. We back in 1929, I knew what it was to see people in the bread line, and I never was in that line either. Brethren, we're just playing at Christianity half the time. Where's your faith? Right during that depression, I knew what it was to go to my Heavenly Father and ask Him, and I never went to anybody else. I could tell you missionary stories, and they won't come from Africa either. I knew what it was to sit down with nothing to put on that table and wonder where it was coming from the next day. Where did it come from? It came from my Heavenly Father. And I've waited for years before I've ever told it. I think the person is living, maybe, but I don't know. I've never known to this day who they were. A big rap. I told my wife, I said, well, here's what we'll do. We'll go out to the meeting, and somebody will invite us out for dinner. Then we'll have a dinner, all right. And we'll take our two little boys with us. You know, you always figure these things out the way that God's going to do it. In the midst of the whole thing, a big rap came at the back door. Oh, I thought, whatever is this? It was a terrible big rap, and I thought it was a drunk. And it was cold, and I turned the lights out. And I went up on the, and I raised up a window and I hollered out, who's down there? And I didn't get any answer. Well, I said to my wife, if it's a drunk, they'll freeze to death. I'll have to go out and see. So I went down and opened the door. And when I opened the door, in came a great big thing, and I thought, there he is. Sure enough. Well, you know what it was? It was a bag as high as that, filled with groceries. Enough to last you for I don't know how long. Talk about a deep freeze full. It was full. Where'd it come from? My father. Talk about faith, brethren. I didn't intend to be telling you this. I've waited all these years before I've ever mentioned it because I don't need a thing. Only a lot of grace from heaven. Temporal things, no, I don't need that at all. But I do tell you this. We should exercise a little more faith in our Heavenly Father and what He has said. And so, weak in faith. Yes, they were weak in faith. They couldn't understand these things. We have brethren today and they're weak in faith. Insurance. Well, I'll tell you, they never got very rich from me. And I worked for them. I worked for the Travelers Insurance Company one time. I worked for the Aetna Life Insurance Company too. I've worked for different ones before I was ever saved. But they've never got anything from me since. Why? We need to be persuaded in our own minds, brethren. Trusting in God, and God loves to be trusted. If we could only get that over to our brethren and sisters tonight, how much our God loves to be trusted. It would help, wouldn't it? I almost am reluctant to preach along this line because often I'm put to the test afterwards. However, the Lord has brought us through, and I could tell you story after story. I could write a book on this. The goodness of our God that has led us through all the way. And I was very much interested in what our brother Black was telling us this morning. But I have a reserve in my mind too, brother. And it's this. I believe if these brethren trusted in their God and set aside a portion for Him out of what does come in. He has said, them that honor me I will honor. And I believe God will honor them, though He may put them to a test. That is repeated time and time again. He will honor them, brethren. He loves to be trusted. But if they don't see these points that we're talking about, receive them. Don't be setting them aside and say, well, I can't have any fellowship with him. Why, he can't even trust God for his meal. Can't trust him for anything. Did we do that in the Depression? Not at all. I was in on the start of the Hartford Conference in Hartford, Connecticut. It started among the English and it's now controlled more by the Italians who are now speaking in English. When we started that, Manchester gave their... Now, you brethren have been there, so you know what I'm talking about. Manchester gave theirs up because they said, it's depression, and we haven't any money, and we can't carry on and have a conference. So here we are, younger men, full of zeal and not much knowledge, but we did believe God anyway. So we got together and decided to have a conference. Our oldest brother said, well, do you know how much money there is in the till? How much? I asked him. 1 penny. That's how we started that Hartford conference, on 1 penny. But I said, look, there's 10 of us here, and if each one of us could raise $10, that's $100. And mind you, back in those depression days, $100 was a lot. You know how we did it? They all decided to sell donuts, and their wives made them. One man, he couldn't sell, but he said, some of you know Ted Colangelo. Well, he can sell anything. And so he said, I'll sell your portion. All right, he said, I'll fill the car with gas, and you use my car, and he did. When the conference ended, they had several dollars left over. Why? A sister was exercised about the Manchester conference, and she said, when I read in the magazine they weren't going to heaven, I didn't know what to do, and I told the Lord, what'll I do with this? Because I set it aside for them. And the next magazine came out and said they were going to have one in Hartford. Well, she said, all right, Lord, I'll send it to them. And she did. And we had more than we started with. We had money left over. What was that? Simply trusting the Lord. Now, we do sing trusting Him every day and so on. But do we? No. And I'm no example to that. I'm only telling you about these weak folks in here. But even though they are, brethren, and we had plenty of them then, I told them somewhere just recently, one of these brethren, he was all out of puff. I met him. That was in Hartford during the Depression. I said, what's the matter with you? He said, I've been to every employment office in the city, and everyone I went to, no help wanted. No help wanted. I don't know what to do. I've got to get a job. Well, I said, have you tried praying yet? Why, I said, look, we're all in the same boat. What about praying? What about looking to the Lord? And he did. God brought him through. If I'd name him, you'd know who he is. Although he lives miles from here, God has blessed him greatly. Why? Them that honor me, I will honor. Well, now, don't set them aside. Receive them. They're in the assembly. Keep that in our minds. They're folks that were in the assembly at Rome. Receive them, even though they don't understand these things, even though they are weak, and they can't understand about the eating of meats and so on. That was the main issue, of course, the eating of meat. That's why Paul puts that in the 14th verse. I know, he's telling them, and I'm persuaded. How was he persuaded? Well, he was persuaded by the Lord Jesus. How are we persuaded? Persuaded by this holy book. That's what gives us persuasion. How am I persuaded that I'm going to be in heaven? Through the same book. How was I persuaded that I was going to go to hell? Through the same book. And it's this book that persuades us. And so, brethren, if we read this book and believe what God says, it will persuade us. And it won't be somebody else who want us to say, well, so-and-so told me. Brother so-and-so believes that, and I believe it because he believes it. We believe it because God says it. And so, brethren, when we come to the 16th chapter, it's a different matter. She's not in the assemblies at Rome. Read the 16th chapter in verse 1. I commend unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Now this sister is being commended to them. She's coming from the outside and she's coming in. She's already in an assembly somewhere else, but she's coming there as a visitor. Therefore, we should have letters of commendation. And we believe in letters of commendation. And this is a letter of commendation. Now, I'm taking time to mention that because we're living in a day of laxity. When folks are coming and going, And you don't know where they've gone or where they've been or when they're coming back and so on. They never even took a letter when they went. Now I do know that they can go to some places without a letter. But this is a scriptural principle. And the brethren should see to it. When a visitor comes, has he got a letter? Has she got a letter? And a letter is only worth the value of where it came from and the names that are on it. And that's why this one was so valuable, because the Apostle Paul wrote it. Now, I was out of this country last year for 6 months, and I took a letter. I've got a brother here that signed it. He's with me today. I took a letter with me. Why, the brother said, you didn't need this. Well, I said, you didn't know what I might have gotten into since you saw me last. But I did it for more than one reason. And what reason was that? As an example for others. To encourage them too. Just because we've got a letter at one time doesn't mean that we don't need it again. Well, our brother tells us he's got his for another 40 years. Well, if that's the case, I've got mine for more than that, and on again now. However, if I go for a long distance again, I'll likely ask the brethren to give me another one. Not commending me anew, but they're commending me again, letting others know that I'm still in fellowship. Now, these letters of commendation, it's not just a passport to go from one place to another. Commending the person for what he is worth. You notice that? Now, if every letter that was written, it would be put in there about the person, it would be some letters, wouldn't it? I went to a conference. I won't tell you where. It was in not this country anyway. And I said to the elders, did you commend so-and-so that left and went down there? Yeah. What kind of a letter did you give him? Well, they said, we gave him a regular letter. Well, I said, did you tell them where he was going? They owed nearly everybody in the assembly that he left. Oh, no, they said, we didn't say that. No, I said, you left the thing open and he'll do the same thing. He was almost like a confident man. He'll do the same thing down there and he'll fleece them too. Well, I stirred them up enough so they had a meeting with the elders from the other place and told them. Don't you see? You can write this letter of commendation for what the person is worth. Now, you could write a letter and say, now we have to commend this brother or sister to you, and they've been kind of a troublemaker with us, and we hope that they'll help you out a little bit. Well, there was one sent, and he was that too. These brothers met at another conference, and they said, how are you getting along with so-and-so? Oh, we're getting along fine. Well, they were quite surprised, because he'd been a troublemaker to them. We're getting along fine. He's helped us a lot. He has? Why, they were so surprised. How is that? They said, we never have prayed so much for years as since he's been with us. He's kept us on our knees ever since he came. Well, they didn't need to have it in the letter. They found out that he was some character indeed. Well, brethren, you can see the value of these letters. Did you want to preach tonight, Miss Paisley?